Hello, my name is Zach, and I am the DM for the Barely D&D podcast. We are going to do a little episode zero here, if you will, where basically we're just going to do a basic introduction for characters and the world, because you guys will be coming in at our fifth adventure was last time, right?
Yeah.
So you guys will be coming in at our fifth adventure, so we wanted to give a little bit of prelude to stuff. So I'm Zach, and I'm the DM, like I said. This is the homebrewed world of Yalebedin. And it's got a lot of homebrew in it, but it is a 5e module. And the campaign takes over. So Yalebedin is a whole world with multiple continents and subcontinents, established and structured into separate cultures. And the essential lore is that the world is sort of in its second generation, is a good way to put it. It's built on sort of the bones, if you will, of an old one. And no one really knows anything about that. No one knows how or when or why. And a lot of people debate as to whether or not that's technically true. It's much more like a pie in the sky concept for a lot of people, where like maybe some like government official or some really important magic-y person would have some opinions on it. But the common person either doesn't care, doesn't know, or has like some sort of a passing opinion on it that's very vague.
I care, but I don't know.
Uh-huh. That's Landon. Yeah, why don't we do character introductions?
Sorry.
Keep going.
It's fine. So the world has an independent calendar and some history and some time dates. So frequently when we start our sessions, I'll say it's 3488 PB. That stands for 3488 post-birth is the scholarly term, because that's when the majority of cultures and kingdoms that are around in the world currently start their calendars for generally agree upon that was the start of their civilizations. Otherwise, the lands in the west are generally a bit more wild. The lands in the east tend to be a bit more civilized and structured. There's kingdoms in both, but there's some variance. And there's, as far as a vague overview goes, that's probably about where we'll cap it, because there's so much that it would get hard to get super specific with it. But yeah.
We've only had five adventures in this world so far, but I think we've learned enough surface level to know that we literally could ask Zach any question right now. To like, what's the native fauna of this world and this part of the world? And Zach would be like, oh, here's the five local species in this, like it's like down to a science, literally, because that's his college major.
But we have a whole campaign to explore it, so
yes, so I'm really excited.
No rush. do we want to do characters now?
Yeah Abby, right. Do you want to start?
Sure.
I mean, we can throw the professional part out, like, okay. At some point, they'll listen to the episodes and they'll go, oh, okay.
Okay. It's a bunch of nerds. Yeah. I mean, it's called Barely D&D.
You should have gotten the point from the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to start?
Yeah. So my name is Abby and I play Greta. She is a little gnome cleric, and she's a homebrew cleric.
She is a cleric. Nice. Yeah, she's a corrupted domain cleric.
A corrupted domain cleric. So basically, she comes from a bunch of really wacky witch ladies in the woods, and Greta doesn't really know much about that, but...
You did just throw your pencil.
But yeah, Greta has a lot of energy. She's very curious.
Very accurate.
Yeah. She's a lot of energy, very curious. She sometimes just does things without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely been consequences.
Yeah.
Every party needs an instigator.
Yeah. Greta is the instigator.
Yeah.
Yep. She's very much like into, plants and like nature and just cool things. I'd say she's pretty friendly. She likes making friends.
She's the cleric.
Yeah. And my favorite analogy is basically if you mixed Mrs. Weasley from Harry Potter with Radagast the Brown from Lord of the Rings. That's really what she is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Does Greta usually travel with people, or is she used to traveling alone?
I feel like both. I feel like she kind of does both. She enjoys people and she enjoys their company, but if something is interesting and nobody else wants to explore it, she's like, okay, I'll do it myself.
I'll go do it.
Yeah.
I feel like it bothers her not knowing certain things.
Absolutely.
Am I wrong? Okay.
Yeah.
Greta's so cool.
I feel like she likes to just, like, she likes to let people have their own space, but she definitely, like, wants to know as much as she can.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Big Mike.
Oh, that's me.
Big Mike.
So, my name is Micah, and I play the character Craig Dundley.
Are you guys laughing at that Mike joke?
Hey, yo, Big Mike! Mike!
And then they immediately said, my name is Micah.
Yeah.
Hey, Big Mike. Yeah, so anyway.
I think it's just so funny because, like, a mic, there's an actual mic.
I know, I was like, wow, that's
all Big Mike. All these mics are Big Mics literally. To us. It's still a little weird to meet me in front of a microphone. Anyway, okay, really? I like it. Big Mike.
Mine looks
Big
like a
Mike,
friend.
That is me. I am Micah. I play the character Craig Dundley. He is a hill dwarf barbarian. Pretty cool.
I was just like, wow, you know, he's really accurate. And then I realized you were looking at a computer screen. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I'm definitely reading from something right now.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, so Craig, he's got issues, man.
What's your class and subclass for
him? My what?
Your class and subclass.
I'm a hill dwarf barbarian.
No, that's a race. Barbarian. Oh, you already said barbarian.
I already said barbarian.
Yo, girl, that's my bad. That's my bad.
It's okay.
It's all right.
What's your subclass again? I don't remember. Huh? I legitimately don't remember what your subclass is.
Oh my gosh. See, I wrote it down, but I don't have it in front of me.
Path of the Totem War? No.
It was...
Where'd you write it down?
Oh gosh.
You know
this
what?
Is, yeah,
this is
you
the
guys
D&D
weren't
part of
level. Yeah, this we're gonna own up to that name a lot. Because you guys haven't gotten to level 3. You didn't. Did you pick?
I don't think
I could pick yet.
Yeah,
I think I had an idea, and like we researched it, but then we were like, oh crap, I can't do that right.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. So, a mysterious barbarian.
Yeah,
who we don't know.
You don't
about.
Know anything.
Yeah, we don't know.
Ah.
It makes
me better than everyone. No. No, it doesn't.
I'm sorry, please continue. You were saying he has a lot of issues.
Okay. Oh. You know, I would say that was a burn, but I really did that to myself. No, but Craig comes from a very interesting family dynamic where his wife kicked him out.
You wanna there's no pressure, you don't have to do this now, but what's your wife's name?
My wife's
name. Because we haven't actually established that, so I can just...
Zachary's like...
Oh, I'm taking notes.
I decided it a few days ago, but now all I remember is what I decided against.
Was it Laura?
You can pick whatever.
I'm going to say Catherine.
Mm. Ooh, I like that. With a K
like
or a C?
Name.
K.
Oh. I knew you were going to say that. And what are...
Okay.
Sorry, so please continue.
So he was married to Catherine for, you know, a good while. I'd say like 15 years.
Okay.
Which isn't very long, but you know, still.
That's a long time.
Well, when you're comparing it to people who've been married.
Oh, well, he's
like,
a dwarf.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, they've been married for 15 years and he has some issues and he's pretty selfish, honestly. So she kicked him out. And he's playing it off pretty cool, trying to act like, oh, I'm just traveling and, you know, experiencing new things.
I don't
things.
Know about playing it off kind of cool.
He's not. He thinks he is, but he's not.
Oh, wow.
He thinks he is, but he's doing a really bad job. So anyways, Craig is kind of a goofy guy. He's got...
Yeah.
Goofy, Gilbert, never, quirky sorry. And different.
He's just quirky and different.
Just
you know?
Quirky dwarf things.
But...
goofy guy.
Yeah, so he's kind of a goofball, but, you know, we still love him, and I hope. That's up to you guys, really. I like Craig.
He definitely keeps things interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He adds to the social dynamic of things.
Is there a positive part of that interesting, or is that a negative
No,
interesting?
I think it's all
yeah,
positive.
Yeah, there's plenty. Yeah. We'll figure
Maybe
it out.
Not all
we got time for these characters to coalesce.
Yeah. So, that's Craig. I don't want to go too far into his backstory.
Doesn't he
well,
have
we
a kid?
We can always figure that out later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have
oh,
a
yeah, he has a son.
You do
yes.
have a son. I dropped a pen. I was going to ask the son's name, but I didn't want to pressure you.
Ugh, I'm still figuring that one out. It's got I got to feel the name.
I also love the idea of everyone in your family not having very dwarven names, and I don't think they should.
No, I think
Catherine,
that they are completely
Craig.
Basic.
Yeah.
Like, not dwarf
This is
basic.
My son, Jeff.
I have a question for
yeah.
Craig. So, well, for
it's Craig.
For you.
No,
for
no.
Craig.
Question for
the bear okay. has a question for Craig.
The bear. Oh my gosh.
So,
okay.
Is Catherine problematic too? Like, is she part of the problem or is it just Craig?
I really don't think she's part of the problem.
Okay, so she's like totally innocent.
Yeah.
Well,
Catherine okay. is...
And I'm not telling you how to do your thing. You can do whatever you want to, you know, this, I don't mean to interrupt, but you can always leave stuff for players to figure out later. Like, if you guys, okay. No, not that that's necessarily a big backstory secret, but you can always, like, the amount of information you want other players to know is up to you. So you can totally toy with that however you want to. You can tell us all about your family. That's fine.
I'd say, well, here, let me change things up. I'm gonna cancel what I said, and just for you right now to know, Craig thinks that she is wrong.
Okay.
So I don't know what she really is, and I won't let that, you know, I won't say. But to Craig, all he knows is that she's wrong, and yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So Catherine's wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay, Craig.
What about you, Buzz?
Sorry, just thought of something funny. Rosa?
I'm good. I think that's all I'm gonna share.
Okay. Well, Boz is.
What's your name?
My name's not Boz. My name is Landon.
Landart.
That's not my name. But Landart. I play the fictional character Boz. He doesn't have a last name. Not that I've come up with yet, but he is
Boz
from
B-boy.
A little Boz B-boy. Bebop.
Okay, I'm sorry.
He is from a little corner of the world that doesn't exist to a lot of other people. It's called the Wondrous. Nope, never mind. That's not what it's called. Zachary is like,
that actually wasn't what it's called, so it's okay, but do not say what that is. Nobody knows where you're from. If you want to say that in character, you can, but that's
okay.
Up to you.
Okay, I was saying that we're going to cut that out.
No, but it's okay. We'll leave it in. If people are listening to it for this, it's okay.
I don't know where I'm from. I know where I'm from.
You know where you're from.
But I don't know what the name of it is right now.
If you're going to drop that, you totally can. First of all, that wasn't the name, so we're fine. Second of all, if you had that, you can totally drop that in session if you want to. But, like, that needs to come from your character. And also, so your part in the world, as we had talked about, is like a myth to a lot of people. And a lot of people don't even think it exists.
Okay.
But a lot of people from your spot don't necessarily get out either.
Yeah.
So it's up to you whether or not you want Boz to like haphazardly say like, oh, I'm from here, and like start dropping like, oh, I'm from Atlantis, sort of, so to speak, everywhere. Or you can have him keep it secretive. My only thing is you should probably think that through like a lot.
As I started to say the wrong name, Zachary's expression, he was like, no, do not say anything else. Stop. So he's from a little mystical corner of the world
that not a
lot of people know about or get over to. There's a lot of just crazy things that happen where he's from. There's a lot of cultural history for him and his family. He has kind of like a kind of weird, a nuclear family in such a weird part of the world. So he has like a mom and a dad and a sister. And right now he's on a quest with his bees. His bees are a huge part of his life. He guards them with his life. And I don't know how much I've revealed in the game.
Not a lot.
So I won't go into a whole lot, but basically something's wrong with them and they are integral to his culture and his way of life. And he is trying to figure out what the heck's going on, because no matter what they do back at home, they can't figure it out. And big problems are starting to occur because of it.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like the emissary that's been sent.
Oh, good word.
And, I like that. Yeah. So I'm kind of building him and defining him as we go along, because it was weird. I feel like I'm just like trying to not do a whole lot with him personality wise because I'm unsure of who he is. So
we're
I feel like as we go along, it's
we're five adventures.
Yeah. So. I think as we go along, he's really going to take an identity, and I can kind of feel that starting to happen right now, which is really cool.
So,
But as I'm kind of figuring him out more, that was a long word. Of
as
him.
I'm, you know, so sometimes when you have a character, you.
I think he's becoming a little bit more headstrong in my head.
Uh-huh.
And definitely someone who makes more decisions.
Yeah. Well, and the start of stories are like that. Also, for people who are listening, we have a lot of first-time players or like earlier players, so we are all growing together, which is
fun. Would consider all of us first-time players, even me.
I would, yeah.
Because okay, never mind. Yeah, everyone's a first-time player.
Yeah, so everyone here is like a first-time player. I feel like I've dabbled in this a little bit more. Just because I listen to podcasts, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're all here in this world, and I have a question for you, Zachary, about this place. What's the most dangerous place?
Wow.
I can straight up give you that answer. Would you like me to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In this world.
Your characters don't get to know it, though.
Mm.
The players can, but the characters don't.
That's fine.
Can I walk up to a stranger and just be like, what's the most dangerous
place? Yeah, you can do that. Who knows what they'll say? Also, just as a quick note. So, if anyone's listening, this campaign is set in the same world as a different campaign. Wow. Which also has a podcast, out of coincidence. And this isn't a plug, but point being that...
Plug it.
It's the Away From Table podcast. It's on Spotify and Anchor. But also, it's like, this one's kind of PG and that one's kind of PG-13, just for whatever that's worth. But, yeah. The point being that, like, you guys are fully welcome to listen to that if you want, you, the players. Just know that there are possible spoilers. Like, you could listen to that and be like, oh, holy crap, like, there's all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And that's fine. You can do whatever you want to do, obviously. But my only request as DM is just, make sure that, if you want to expand what your players know, or what you as the player knows, that's fine. You should make sure that you keep that separate from what your character knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll just tell you, it's that island right there that looks like a dragon skull.
Oh.
Or that subcontinent, I guess.
Is it meant to look like a dragon skull?
Yeah. Yeah.
What you can't see, person listening right now, is that we're all sitting around this fold-out
awesome
plastic table that Zachary
yeah.
has like custom made with like a world map and artwork over it and like kind of like world lore like built on the edges and like a huge like what's the battle square thing you call?
It's a battle map.
Battle map.
Yeah,
that
so
was
the,
half
the
right.
table.
Battle
it's just
square.
A plastic ping pong like beer pong table.
Yeah.
But, no, I didn't use it for it, but it was in.
You don't have to explain how you got the table.
Yeah, I don't know.
So where did you find... What drew you to this table specifically, Zach?
Where did you get it?
At Walmart, but... it's got a battle... Well, the problem was, I was like, I got it from this city. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't dox myself. And I was like, well, because of this... And I was like, no, I shouldn't dox myself. So I was like sputtering there. But it's just a plastic, like, fold-out table, but it has a battle map on it. It has the names of everyone who's played in the campaign that it's attached to written in an alphabet that we made up on one side of it. It's got a world map on it, all sorts of stuff. And so the players reference the world map.
All right. Would it be possible to put like a copy of the map in like a share drive so people can
Absolutely.
Look at it?
Yeah.
Because I feel like when we say the most dangerous place in this world is the place shaped like a demon skull. We can see that. Like it's there, like in the bottom left corner. But,
well, I have PDFs of the maps for reasons.
Oh, you
so,
do? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So
yeah.
If you're listening to this, that might already be there. So just
we're
check
also,
the description.
We're working on a website for the other podcast, so
oh,
we can just
cool.
Connect them if you guys want.
Oh, yeah.
It's up to y'all.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But we can cross that bridge when we get to it.
Production problems.
Zach, that's not how I was supposed to start the sentence.
Take
how
it back
do you spell
now,
that? Because for me, it's sideways, and I
it
cannot
is.
See it.
Micah, I love you.
Z-O-R...
Z-O-R. I knew it was an O. I was...
Z-O-R.
Yeah. Z-O-R.
G-R-U-M.
U-M.
That's a sick, like, that's a very, like, what makes it dangerous? Okay. I'm not going to finish the first
one. That I will not tell you.
Oh, well, you
is
know...
It a, is it like a monster?
That's where Craig's wife lives.
Where Craig's life
that was good.
Lives.
Is it an inspiration as a person for that?
No, I won't tell you, because, that is tied to some pretty big world stuff.
Okay.
And they're actually, that's becoming relevant in the other campaign. So they may or may not get there sometime in the next like 20 or 30 sessions. So.
Yeah. I think it's crazy how like relevant in 20, how, like that means like
I
20
know,
to 30
yeah,
sessions.
Crazy.
But like to put that in perspective, like each session for us is like 3 hours. And so that's like literally saying, oh, in about 90 hours of gameplay,
yeah.
That'll be relevant.
Yeah, we've got two episodes, but that campaign's been going for, they're on their 35th adventure.
Wow.
And the majority are like 3 to 4 hours, but back in the summer, we even had a phase where we were doubling up on them. We were doing 2 a week.
Wow.
And they were usually about 6 hours. So
wow.
It was getting pretty crazy.
That's amazing. I think it's just the fact that you can hold on to a group of players and like keep it going that long.
It was a lot of fun.
That's like not common at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Also, mad shout out to Kara who helped me make the table.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, sorry. Anyway.
Do you do a celebration for like 50th? I don't know. Some? Are you going to? Do you want to?
I don't
to?
Know what I'm going
to
do, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something for the 100th episode.
Oh, that's
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The 50th adventure, depending on what the players do, Mm-hmm. I know what's happening.
You've already planned that far ahead. Yes.
But so I don't plan too long term because that's a foolish DM choice because at some point your player will be like, I go into this portal, and you're like, okay, that's 40 episodes out the window. So you just have to come up with loose frameworks that adapt to many situations. Mm-hmm. But I think I know what they're doing because they get kind of, you know, the plot pushes them in directions. So I think I know what's going to happen generally in the 50th mm-hmm. session. So the plot of the 50th episode will be its own reward with a question mark. But I'll do something for the 100th. I don't know what I'll do. And I think even... So it hasn't come up yet, but... So we have the campaigns. I also have a bunch of one-shots. Do you guys know what one-shots are?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, we did a one-shot.
Did we?
The baker. Yeah,
we started with a one shot. That you guys are right. So you guys have played one of. Hold on, let me open this up. You guys have played one of.
That was back when Reagan was playing with us.
Yeah. Okay. Reagan is me and Landon's sister.
That's right.
And she's really great, but now she lives in another place, so she can't
play with us as easily.
Yeah.
And we miss you, Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan, we love you.
If you're listening, we love you a lot.
I miss you, Reagan.
Happy miss you too.
Oh.
So there are 15 one-shots.
Oh, wow.
Seven of which are completed. Oh, so
you have created 15 one-shots.
Well, 15 ideas, and then seven complete one-shots. So like
you
I might
mean
do
I
like
completed. They've been played through, or you have them fully scripted.
They are completely structured, and six of them have been played.
Okay.
And they get pretty crazy. So, for example, I just recently completed one called The Wild Wild Vest. Which is not placed in Yalavadin, and it's just an old Western one-shot, and it's goofy and ridiculous.
Oh my
they all
gosh.
Have different tones. I have some that are, like, near, like, they're, like, thriller horror. I have some
I love
that are...
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, so, like, for a hundredth, or maybe, like, a 25th for us or something, if you guys wanted to, we could do a one-shot instead.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm also working on holiday specials.
Oh my gosh, we have to do a Christmas-themed one-shot, Zachary.
I have Reign of the Red King for Christmas,
oh my
and
gosh.
The Monster Mash for Halloween, but we'll see. We will see if it's ready. We'll see.
I love Halloween.
We'll see, because that's also kind of close to my presentation date for my
You're
master's,
pretty busy.
But we'll see. Anyway, do we want to get back on track?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So what is that logo? What is that significant at all, or like does that
yeah,
have some kind of meaning?
Yeah, that's super relevant.
Okay.
And you guys don't know yet, and that's one of the things. It sucks because it's right on the table, and you want to know, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Does it have something?
you can ask questions around it.
Okay.
Because it's probably going to be a while before you find out, so feel free to.
Does it have any like connection to like powers in the world or like magic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's like a massive overarching magic thing in the world.
It is connected to the central story plot that unites every campaign that takes place in this world.
Okay.
It is at the center of the other campaign.
Does it have anything to do with like political powers or just like magical powers?
It is not very political.
Okay.
Which is to say it is not at all political.
So does the like, so it's like basically a big Venn diagram. Does the, well kind of, does like, so there's three circles, and then it gets four circles, and then it gets smaller and smaller. Does that have any significance, or is it?
It
just...
does. Yeah, everything about it is significant.
Okay,
my brain sees circles.
So there's
overlap.
Like three, and then okay.
Yep.
Like, does the different sizes of the circles have significance?
Everything about it.
Okay.
That's on the cover art, right?
Uh-huh. It is.
No matter what color we choose, that's going to be on the front.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to learn what that means. Are we going to learn what it means as we go along?
Ideally, like if you guys can go through this whole campaign and not learn what that is, then that's impressive. but technically possible. If you guys just completely avoid that storyline at every single turn, it's possible.
Is
it's just really unlikely.
Is that a logo that like shows up in the world, or is that just like conceptual?
Who knows?
My brain sees circles overlapping, and it thinks of the Olympics.
It's got like an Olympic thing going on.
Does it mean the Olympics?
It does. That's what it is.
Wow.
Also, Londar, if you're trying to keep track, I think you've probably got like 7 minutes if you're trying to keep them in a certain time frame.
Okay.
Or wait, no, you can see it on there, right?
Yeah.
I'm a goofy goober. Don't listen to me. You know exactly how long it is.
Let's talk about the story so far.
Yes,
so
that's probably a good idea.
What we've done.
No.
And it's okay. I mean, if it goes a little bit longer, then whatever.
Okay, cool.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, if people are in for 3 hours, they're in for
an
hour.
Right? Like, what's 30 minutes? So first, we all kind of started on a ship, right? Like, we all just...
Well, you started in it. I can tell you exactly what happened. Give me just a second here to pull up the right document. So the sessions, I won't just read off the descriptions or anything, but the sessions that we've had so far is the Adventure 1 of this campaign. This is also called the Accidental Adventures campaign, which we should have said earlier. Adventure 1 was of Brine and Bother. And then Adventure 2 was a maritime mystery. Adventure 3 was surreptitious sailing. Adventure 4, gainful employment. And then one that we'll actually have an episode for was Adventure 5, The Pearl of Unsen. Mm-hmm. And then today's episode that we'll record in a second is Magic Lane. Mm-hmm. But basically, do you just want me to give like really simple rundowns of, I can do that. Okay. Yeah. So Adventure 1, and you guys, just kick in wherever you want, but I'll just give general.
Okay.
Adventure 1 was of Brine and Bother. And essentially the party consists of three people who are, they are pushed into a situation where they were all on the same ship. And they all come from three different, actually, I think you guys come up from three different continents. Or subcontinents, depending on which person it is. And this shipping vessel, which also ferries passengers, was just making its way around the world to a really important city. And you guys got on it at different points for different reasons. And we picked up our first adventure in a small town, the town of Lagath, off of the coast of Lore, a small, like a really big island off of one of the main continents. If you're a listener, eventually there will be world maps that you can look at, so you'll be able to place all this and contextualize. But so the party was stuck in the town because there had been a really big storm at sea. And while you guys were stuck in this rinkadink town, I realized I'm only making eye contact with Landon, so that's my bad.
I feel very valued, Zachary.
Yeah. you're my favorite.
I'm just gonna start making weird faces at you until you have to look away.
It worked immediately. So you guys were stuck in this small town because there was a storm. And while you guys were there, there was like a quote unquote monster attack from some Kuotoa. Mm-hmm. And so, which if you're a first time listener for D&D, they're like fish people.
They're different from Lakatha.
They are very different from Lakatha.
We learned that.
And what you said was kind of racist, but you didn't know.
No, it wasn't.
And so
yes!
Like,
objectively, no.
So basically the adventurers first got united dealing with this problem that was happening to the town. And then from there, the mayor went and found them. Oh, well instead it was supposed to be a fight, yeah.
We were supposed to like beat them up and stuff. No. But
and then you guys made friends with the enemies through the craziest role I've ever
seen.
Who
we can't talk to. Like, we don't speak the same language at all.
How do we do that? Like, you literally just offered one a blanket.
Yeah.
Well, it was, you guys did something crazy. And I was like, okay, well, here's a DC of like whatever. And then Abby rolled it. And I was like, okay. And then there were like a couple more DCs in between, and you just kept being like 24, 23, 20, whatever, at like level one. And so the mayor went and found them, and basically they were basically like, hey, we know these Kuotoa are under the town, because it was a port town off the edge. We know that they're under the water somewhere. They've never been a problem before. Can you guys take care of it? So the party, their first adventure, well, the first and the second, because it was like a two-parter, a twofer. Yeah. The second one was a maritime mystery. And the second one was them going down into a cave that turned into like an underwater, like ocean cave. And basically exploring to figure out why the Kuoto were up there. And eventually you guys like made your way through all of that.
It was really sad.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm glad we didn't kill them.
The very goofy campaign turned into some fairly poignant and dramatic moments.
Oh, it got very serious.
Oh, I teared up a little bit.
That was probably the first time of like listening. I wanted to beat the bad guy. Like, I wanted to. It wasn't just like, oh, I have to come here and beat this. It was like, no, I hate this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so.
And then you guys got the threads of a couple mysteries.
Yes.
And I'm gonna keep doing that to you guys the whole time. I'm just gonna keep dropping things on your lap, and if you put stuff together, cool. If not, all right, we'll just pass on.
We got a spyglass that every time we look into it, it shows us a different place.
Yes.
Like, you look at, and it's very rusted. It looks very, like, ugly, almost.
Yeah. Well, long story short, you guys killed the sea hag.
Oh, yeah.
Driven the Kuoto out of their homes.
Uh-huh.
Basically figured out, like, oh, they're not the bad guys. This is the bad guy. It was, like, an empathizing with the monsters moment. But when they killed the sea hag, the party got a bunch of really trippy magic items.
Yes.
Which are still in their possession.
Wait, we pulled a good place. That's what we did.
You did, yeah.
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 Yeah, okay, sorry. This is the bad place. Sorry, anyways, that's what we're running. Okay, go on.
Yeah. And then a bunch of little stuff in between. Their third adventure was, so at the end of their second adventure, when they got back, the storm cleared up, and the party kind of put together, wait, like, was the hag involved with that? They're not sure, they don't know.
Bum. And I remember asking you if there was any, like, significance of, like, were we here randomly?
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And Greta, because of her specific histories, like started to put together some sort of an insight of like, maybe not. But you guys got back on your ship, and the next two sessions, surreptitious sailing and gainful employment, both took place with you guys trying to head back to the place you were trying to get to in the first place, which was Port Resplendissant in Unsen. And listener, if that all sounds like gibberish now, it'll have context in the episode, so listen to it,
punk. Just keep listening.
So surreptitious sailing, I don't know, how do I summarize it?
At the end of the third session, someone slipped us a note with a ruby in it.
That was the end of the second session.
Yeah. Second session.
Yeah.
But we never followed up with that. We followed up with a different group of dwarves.
Still can.
We still can, because they wanted us to, something like Port Resplendissant is where they wanted us to.
Okay. Mm.
So that's a thread we can chase if we want to.
Yeah.
So, surreptitious sailing, plot-wise, a goblin on the ship stole their stuff, and they got it back. That is what happened in that adventure. The majority of what happened was just, I don't know, how do you describe it? The sort of roleplay that will make up a lot of this podcast. it's beautiful and bizarre and funny. It's just really awkward, but in a gorgeous train wreck sort of way.
I'd say most of that is because of Greta.
Yeah.
Oh. Don't hold any punches. Like,
it's where the group really shines.
I feel like Greta's the kind of person just like, yeah, I'm gonna go follow this thing and see where it goes. And
somewhere between like Nacho Libre and Napoleon Dynamite, but D&D.
She has very little impulse control. Like she has a thought and she just like.
What's cool is like you as a player, Abby, you know, oh, this is obviously a bad idea. Like I shouldn't go do this. But Greta as a character is like, I should obviously go do this.
Well, and yeah.
Which is
part
really
of
cool.
Part of my problem is me as a person, I'm just insanely curious. And I obviously put that into Greta. So I'm like, I want to do that.
Well, and now
like,
it doesn't have real world consequences. Yeah. So you're like, oh, I'll exploit that. Yeah.
But I have been, like, I think I'm down, like, 3 hit points just because of my, like, stupid actions. Yeah.
Zach, are there training wheels on this campaign?
Right now, yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Can you let us know when you take the training wheels off?
You'll know.
Oh, really?
You'll know.
Oh, look, it's the product of my actions.
It's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that, too. You guys are, actually, you might not know. Goal is to ease you into it so naturally that at some point you look up, at some point at level like whatever, you guys just go back and listen to one of the early episodes and you go, oh wow, like,
so like
none of our actions were coming back to us.
So define training wheels, is that just like
I don't want to give too much of it away because I want you guys to just sort of like, you know what, I'll compare it to the other campaign. In the other campaign I'm not like mean about it. And I err on the side of players a lot, but they get all sorts of consequences for their actions. So, like...
tangible consequences.
Yeah. Well, yes, that was the name of the first episode, was Tangible Consequences. They found this golem. It's like a big mechanical magic thing. You guys don't know what that is?
Nope.
Okay. But they found a thing, and they poked it, and it beat the absolute crap out of them. Mm-hmm. It, like, got a couple rounds away from, like, killing their Illrigger, which is a class. Some things are spoilers.
Was there training wheels on that dagger that we found?
No.
No?
We found a dagger... during the third
the party. Wait, now has a name. Don't, three say dubious anything. Magic items.
I know what the name is. Let me find it.
Is that
it
was like common? A
heart carver dagger is what we found.
She just told you not to say the name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I should have
a memory instead of notes.
I was asking if
excuse
that's
me,
normal.
The big mic.
Big mic.
The is very important. Okay. So is there is that unusual for players as early to have that many magical items?
Very. Extreme.
So we're above average, is what you're saying.
We're special.
Any of them do, though, except for the heart carver.
I have decided, just out of an individual place of curiosity, to try and experiment with you guys, and I'm just going to see what happens with it. That's what's happening.
Oh, so we are the hamsters. Yeah, guinea pigs. That's the word.
We're running in the wheel, but we're having fun, so it's okay.
All rodents are the same.
But as far as like the training wheels things goes, like it's not... I like overemphasize it as a bit of a joke. I'm a bit of a merciful DM in general. But stories are good when they have consequences and stakes.
Yeah.
So I will absolutely implement those. It's just going to increase in time. But like, for example, every campaign I DM, I do that. I start like kind of gentle. And then by level 10, like there's no punch I will pull.
Well, yeah.
Usually by level 5. But, for example, in the other campaign, Georgie, wherever you are out there, sorry. In the other campaign, in their very first episode, they found this big criminal organization, not one that you guys have run into.
There's more.
And, oh, there's
a lot of criminal organizations.
I'm not kidding when I say this world is so layered. they found this big place, and it was this big spooky place, mm-hmm. and she had never played D&D, and so, the character, who has been completely abandoned, was basically like, but that's for different reasons. Don't worry about it. It's different reasons. But she basically like kicked in the door and was like, I'm a player character. Tell me things. And they didn't get a TPK on their first episode, their first adventure, because I thought that would really suck. But instead, they just like put together after a few moments, like, oh, crap. Like, I just explained things a little more, and all of a sudden they were kind of like,
oh, we shouldn't have done that.
And instead, they got branded. And
that's
then they basically got
so cool.
They basically got immediately indoctrinated and owned by that organization.
That's awesome.
And Georgie, for like totally different logistic reasons, also, Georgie, I love you, you're wonderful. Who hopefully we'll have on at the other podcast at some point. But she got like her character, well, Georgie just couldn't play anymore, which is fine. And so her character just sort of like walked out of the story for whatever reasons. But their campaign has never quit dealing with those actions. It has weaved itself into their story the whole way through. Now they managed to ingeniously spin it into a positive later on,
nice.
But they are connected to that criminal organization to this day.
Wow.
So that's like, in terms of like, there is nothing you do that I will not lean into.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing.
So the Kuatoa, well, okay. So Greta, got a mark on her hand from the Kuatoa people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a cut on her palm.
It's a pretty deep cut, though. It may scar. You don't know yet.
But I thought it was like a thing that like I showed to them when they were like, oh, friend. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So is that going to...
Who knows?
Wait, so should I like keep cutting it so it does scar? Because it's like, it was helpful before. Because it made friends at the
Kuatoa. Doesn't
mean
it's
going to
always be helpful.
Girl, that's you. That's a you call.
that's a great
to the listeners. Don't cut yourselves.
Please don't.
Nope.
That's a you call, girl. Do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do not.
Back to summaries. So that was the third adventure, and then the fourth was basically Greta made friends with a dwarf on the ship who looked like he was a part of something really important, and the group wanted something to do when they got to town. So she was like, "I'm gonna go get a job with him." And basically, the whole episode was just you guys.
His name was Yorbitru.
Yorbitru.
Yeah.
You said it wrong.
Well, I don't. That wasn't a correction. That was like me trying to remember what it was. I'm not gonna be that anal. But the fourth episode was just them trying to get a job interview, getting the job interview, botching the job interview, and getting it anyway.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a bad review of the episode, but it's a lot of fun.
I think that's what you mean by training wheels. It's kind of like, okay.
Oh yeah, at level 6, I would have just been like, they don't talk to you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I was kind of feeling like, okay, so I think we're just kind of getting handed this, even though we don't really deserve it.
Because you guys are practicing. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't know. Like, I made a mistake. Like, I would have knocked on the door again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's just, that just takes time. It takes time to learn, like, how immediate things are and how things connect. In time, that'll just feel like a muscle that you'll just use instantly.
Yeah.
But at first, that's kind of really hard to coordinate.
You know, I feel like I've felt a little bit of the training wheels loosening when
yeah, they're coming off.
You know, Craig
fell asleep in the bathroom.
That was so awesome.
That was supposed to be a joke. It's like, haha, you know, people fall asleep in the bath.
But
I did not prepare for that at all.
And it was
and
a reasonable consequence.
No,
too.
It was. I just was so unexpected. But I can see how you're slowly but surely doing
the best. I think the best way to put it is like the first four episodes. We're very much like, you guys have the training wheels on, and like my hand was on your back, and I was like, you're doing so good, you know, like keep going.
He's like rolling his eyes like, oh, you're
no,
doing great.
He's
crying. No, it's really cool.
He's crying behind us.
I don't care. It's all good. But about the fifth adventure, the first one that we've recorded, not to just advertise it endlessly, but that was definitely the first time where I took my hand off.
Yeah.
Less in the way of, like, the bathtub thing was just kind of funny, but more like when Greta ordered the drink at the bar, And then I was like, okay, you asked for the strongest thing, it's strong. And then she failed the save. Or no, you succeeded the save. You succeeded the constitution saving throw. Because nice. Also, just as a prerequisite, Abby, our player, rolls high all the time. Yay. There's one in every campaign. I'm looking at you, Kara.
I rolled 4 natural ones in the last
You did. There's also one of you in every campaign. I'm looking at you, Callie. You don't know those people, but maybe we'll have a crossover sometime. I don't know.
Who knows?
That'd be so much fun.
That would be a ton of fun.
I hear so many stories about all these people, and I want to meet them.
I know. Y'all sound really great.
The only problem is that they're level 10.
So you're better than us.
Well,
we'd be like, hi, and then...
Well, like, if you guys crossed over, like, it'd be really fun roleplay, and then you do combat, and you guys would just die in a turn.
It could be liabilities. Like, a big bad could kidnap us. And they have to come
like
rescue us.
We're like fun to roll
a damsel in distress.
Oh, that's actually
a group.
Kind of a fun idea.
Like, what if our actions get us in some are really dumb, and we just a Craig in distress?
That's a good episode title.
Oh yeah. Oh no.
Don't put me in distress.
We need to take Zachary's pen away from him,
please.
Oh, I'm keeping notes all the time.
Oh gosh.
So the training wheels came off, and that like you succeeded the constitution saving throw, but you were still very drunk, and you still suffered the idea being that like because you ordered the strongest thing they had, it wasn't a question of like, do you get drunk off the whiskey? It was, does the Everclear put you under the table immediately?
Yeah.
So that's a good example of the training of like my hand coming off, and the training wheels will start coming off like kind of in the next couple episodes.
Okay.
Which is totally fine. Don't brace, don't prepare. I don't think you'll even notice. Because you guys are already getting very good at this because you're practicing it so much. Mm-hmm. But you don't win D&D. You play it. You just have fun with it.
I'm going to win.
I'm
going to
win too, though.
All the different choices you guys start making, you guys are going to realize the training wheels came off like 6 levels from now.
Yeah.
When you guys are like, when there are twists and things happening and you guys are like, oh, wait, what? And then you guys would be like, oh, that thing we did like 20 sessions ago. And that's what it's going to click.
So us befriending the Kuotoa people, that was training wheels completely, right?
No. Abby just rolled 4 times in a row above 20 at level 1.
I'll never understand
how that happened.
Because she's Abby.
Differently.
I was like, are we going to recap the last episode? And I'm like, nope, because we literally played it. So
I mean, if they want to. Yeah. Adventure 5, The Pearl of Unsin, was them arriving in the city. They finally wanted to get to Porus Plenty Saw. And basically, all that happened was you guys got off the ship, went to an inn, and went to go shopping. But I think for people who know stuff about D&D, it was a shopping episode in the best... Or the shopping episode is starting, and I think it's one of our best.
Really? You liked it?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, cool.
I mean, you guys seem like you're having the time of your lives.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was fun to... I feel like you guys finally got to be somewhere for a bit.
Yeah.
And
I kind of feel like there were 3 options that we could go to on the ship. Room, mess hall, top deck.
Yeah.
We couldn't go to the crow's nest, so that took off the 4th option.
Definitely tried.
All the inside jokes we're going to drop from the first 4 episodes where people are just going to be like, what?
What are you talking about? The crow's nest. They said no and Greta said yes. That's all you've got to think
and
about.
And I went Karen on
that. That's a shirt right there. they said no, Greta said yes.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's about it. I think that's pretty... There's character description in the first episode, so just go listen to that if you want to picture our characters better. We're going to try to get maps out so that you can see what we're talking about when we mention places. We're all really new to this, so it's going to evolve as we go on. Like, there's not going to be music in the first episode. But in the session that we're about to record right now, after we stop talking about this, there's going to be music. You know what I mean? And so if everything works well.
At some point, there will be music.
There will be music. We just got to get the hang of it first.
Copyright-free music.
Copyright-free music.
Looking
Spotify.
At you.
So
it took 7 hours. It's copyright free music, I promise.
We're really excited to just kind of sit down here and hang out and play together. And Mike, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I'm just saying, like, I am so excited for this. I love it. I hope you guys love it as well, because we really do put a lot of effort in, especially Zach.
I feel like it's more you guys, really.
You literally made a whole map.
It's not you guys.
I was like, that's not true.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like this is like the definition of a free ride.
Yeah.
I think there's people that spend their lives.
Said that when I drank water.
People spend their lives playing D&D, trying to get a group like this together. And I don't say that like, oh, we're so cool. I just figured you're like,
this fun group.
This world is so cool. Like this thing that Zach's put together.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan
of it. Well, and it's easy to DM for people like you because, like you guys. You people.
Oh my God.
I'm blushing.
Well, because you guys are excited about the world and I don't need you to shower me your compliments, but you appreciate what I do. That's easy. It's easy to make something that you love doing when other people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure you, the listener, are just loving us sitting here gushing over each other. you feel like this is where we probably want to.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then in that
case. End.
well, and in that case, we hope that you, the listener, really enjoy what we have to offer. I think it's pretty sick, and I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Here's to barely D&D.
Barely D&D.
Clink, clink, clink. Toasts all around. Okay. Bye.